Thompson, Royal David City, 296, please. Let's stand while we sing. Thank you.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning. And church looks a wee bit different from this perspective than usually sitting down in the front in the rows. But it's great to be with you here this morning. This morning, I just want to, maybe you came out this morning on the 22nd of December and you expect maybe a wee bit of a Christmas theme to the message. Well, you're going to be disappointed because whenever Morris asked me to speak, I think it was back in August, he's very organized, as our Morris. I had a certain verse on my mind back then, and it stayed with me until this point, and I hope it's not overstewed or percolated too much, but I just want to share that verse with you this morning. We're turning to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And we're going to read the first four verses together this morning. And my title, if you like, is Living in Perfect Peace. Living in Perfect Peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for what already has been spoken and sung. We thank you for the word to the children. Lord, for this moment of the service, this part of the service, we just pray for your help. We pray that you would help me as I speak, and that I wouldn't be seen save only the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray for your help. We pray for the people out there listening. We pray that you would prepare their hearts, and that they would find a word of comfort, of reassurance, of blessing this morning. We just ask all these things in and through your precious name. Amen. This morning, as I've said, I want to just speak very simply, simple thoughts from a simple mind about living in peace. But I always think it's really important in any message, if you're going to speak in one verse, just to set the context of the verse. And I do want to take a verse out of its context and just hang a few thoughts on it. So context is really key to our understanding here this morning. And I want us to notice the first three words of verse 1, in that day. What is that day? What is this referring to? Well, if you turn back to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this in verse 11 of chapter 2, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In that day, this is a reference to the forthcoming millennial kingdom of Christ, in which Christ shall reign on earth with his saints for 1,000 years at the close of the tribulation period, which will have been preceded, of course, by the rapture of the church. So this, both chapter 24, 25, 26, 27, haven't actually occurred yet. They're in the future. However, tonight or today, the state of Israel, the land of Judah, is certainly not singing a song of security or safety. Far from it. They might portray an image that they are very safe and secure, but they're absolutely far from it. In fact, just this week I read in the Daily Telegraph the following headline. Hamas plots attacks on Israel from Turkey as President Erdogan turns blind eye. So there you have it. Even today, they're still under serious threat. But praise God, one day Hamas will be dealt with. President Erdogan, Turkey, he'll be dealt with. And anybody that's ever stood against Israel will be dealt with. And I wonder, will they ever come to regret ignoring the words of Genesis 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. So that's really the context of this verse. It's going to happen in the future. But there's very much an application for us here as believers in the church. There's a lot that can take our peace, especially in 2019. If you think even in our own land, all the different things that have happened, all the different laws that have been passed, and I don't need to rehash those to you this morning. We know what a state our land is starting to become. But I think before we really delve into verse 3, if we consider peace, what is peace? Well, there's two maybe broad definitions. There's peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God, of course, that's received through faith in Christ's blood. It's a product, if you like, of our justification. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and made peace by the blood of his cross so that we could be brought near to God. It's important to remember as well that men, we do not make peace with God in and of ourselves, but rather that God made peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then following on from that, if you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you then have peace with God, then we can enjoy the peace of God. The peace of God is that comfort, enjoyment, and tranquility of mind and heart that we can enjoy as believers. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us comfort and peace, and we'll look at a few verses of what the Lord Jesus Christ said later. Peace is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's enjoyed by us believers who allow the Spirit of God to rule our lives, and we live in obedience to His Word. Peace can come upon us when we meditate upon His Word and we think about God's love and protection on our lives. So I just wanted to establish those two definitions, and I know you're all very learned and intelligent people here in Lurgan, but I just wanted to remind you, as I needed to remind myself. So if we look again at verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I just want to consider four very simple things this morning. I want us to think about the source of peace, "Thou wilt keep him." I want us to consider the substance of the peace, "in perfect peace." Then I want to consider the secret of the peace, "whose mind is stayed on thee." And then I want to consider the simplicity of the peace, "because he trusteth in thee." So first of all, let's look at the source of the peace. "Thou wilt keep him." What does our text say? "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." I want us to notice here the ability of God to keep us and preserve us. It's not self. If we look here at the Hebrew word for keep, and as I always say, I barely have a grasp of English language, let alone any other language, so I'm really relying on my research. But keep, the Hebrew word for keep here is to guard, protect, or maintain. To guard, protect, or maintain. Isn't it a real comfort this morning to know that our peace is being kept by an almighty God? He's able to keep us and to protect us. And you might be here this morning, and I don't know all your circumstances, but you might be here and 2019 has really rocked you in terms of your personal circumstance. You might say, well, how can God keep me in perfect peace with all my circumstances? If we just really briefly consider four attributes of God, he's omniscient. What does that mean? God knows everything. He's not just knowledgeable. There's many people who are knowledgeable, but God is all-knowing. He knows everything. There's nothing that needs to be added to his knowledge or taken away. He knows everything. Therefore, following on, he knows everything about you, and he knows everything about your circumstances. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? Well, God's almighty. He's all-powerful. There's no one more powerful than God, and everybody is subject to his power. Therefore, he has the power to keep you in perfect peace no matter your situation. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's in all your circumstances. All those circumstances that you had in 2019 and beyond, or before, all those difficult circumstances that you had, God's been in them, every single one of those circumstances. He's immutable. What does that mean? He changes not. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. So his power doesn't change, his presence doesn't change, he remains the same. When you consider these attributes of God, just remember this is the God that is your keeper of your peace. He's able to keep you in perfect peace. Do you still think this morning that God isn't able to keep you in perfect peace? And then that leads us to the question, well, what are you relying on for your perfect peace? Are we trying to keep ourselves? How guilty we are of doing that sometimes. Maybe are we relying on church to keep us, on others to keep us? I think it's important to be aware of modern society and our society. And believe it or not, I've left school about 10 years now. And I remember at school, at careers, it was very much, right, what are you going to do, Philip, for your career? What is your career path going to be? It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about I. What are you going to do? How are you going to make money? How are you going to do whatever? I think that's really dangerous because as Christians, whether we realize it or not, and we'll come to it a wee bit later on in the verse, but we are completely surrounded by a toxic culture of self. And whether we believe it or realize it, it permeates right into our minds. Always be aware and always look to God and remember Scripture. Think of the words in Jeremiah 17:9, when you're told to rely on yourself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I always think and try to think back to Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Don't look within for your peace. Don't look even out for your peace. But always remember to look up. Then secondly, I want us to notice the substance of the peace. The substance of the peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, the literal translation of the Hebrew word here for perfect and peace is actually peace, peace. It's just repeated. And that doubling up highlights to us the certainty of this peace. It shows us the enjoyment that we can have of this peace and the consistent nature of it. What a thought this morning. We are kept in this perfect peace. We're kept in this perfect peace. Well, what does it mean for us? Well, one of the benefits and one of the fruits of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness to us is having a peace that passeth all understanding. Think of Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, in 2014, my granny Bowles, as I called her, I was very close to my granny Bowles. My dad's an only child. My mum's one of 13. What a contrast. And so I was very close to my granny Bowles because I was the only grandson, and I was really quite perfect in her eyes. Apart from, she always used to criticize whenever I used to stick my hair up like this, and she always used to say, I can't believe you go to church with your hair like a punk rocker. That's what she used to say to me. She'd be really disappointed this morning. But in 2014, she was diagnosed with lymphoma, and she lived all her life in County Fermanagh, Maguire's Bridge. And it turned out she and my grandfather had just died the year before with cancer. Granny came and lived with us in Achillea with my mum and dad. So she had to leave everything that she'd known, her house, her wee area, all her friends. She came up to Achillea and she lived with us, and we brought her up and down to the Belfast City, the cancer centre. And I'll never forget one night, she was moved to a side ward whenever her condition got worse, and it was a terminal diagnosis. And I remember sitting with her one night, and we did not expect her to be as comfortable and at peace. She was saved and she knew and loved the Lord, but we thought when she was taken out of that environment that naturally it would be a great upheaval to her. And I remember asking her one night, I was like, well, how are you doing, Granny? She says, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I have everything here that I would want. I have my family, I have my friends, and I had my faith. And it didn't matter as her condition worsened, it just seemed that her faith and her peace, which passed all understanding, we were completely dumbfounded as a family. We couldn't believe just how the peace of God took over her life. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I wonder, are we guilty sometimes of downgrading the quality of this peace? Do we neglect or forget just how perfect this peace is that we have to avail of as believers? How often we let circumstances cloud our reality and our perception of what's going on. I think it's also really important to remember, if we could just grasp the magnitude of this peace that's been given to us, how much more we could abide in it and go on and serve the Lord. Then thirdly, I just want to consider the secret of the peace. The secret of the peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, for me, this is where it got really good whenever I was studying it. Whose mind is stayed on thee. This is where I think the Hebrew word here means to, you can literally render this, to prop up or to support or to lean upon or be supported by. Now, at university, I studied, apparently, building surveying. Sounds very fancy. Doesn't really mean a whole lot in day-to-day life. But we used to study foundations and how a building goes together, and it's always really important to have a good support in any building. And this is the secret of peace that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our minds need to be propped up or supported by the things of God. What does that mean for us here today? Well, very simply, for all the believers here, we have the secret to fulfillment and peace by propping our minds up on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do this? Well, we need to meditate upon his word, think upon Christ and all his attributes. Just some of what we tried to look at this morning. Be still and know that I am God. So how does this apply to us? I think this phrase, while it also gives us the secret to peaceful Christian living, it also highlights to us the problem. Whose mind is stayed on thee? How many of us truly can say this morning that our minds are propped up, are stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that today, in the church and society in general, one of the biggest tactics employed by the devil is distraction and amusement. Distracted Christians. Did you know that the average Briton spends 3 hours and 52 minutes per day watching television? I didn't have a TV growing up. Well, we had a TV, but it was for Willie McRae videos. And the Gaithers and the Cathedrals. Is it any wonder I turned out the way I did? Or mobile phones, if you have a smartphone. We check it apparently on average every 4.3 minutes. Some of you this morning I have seen and you've checked it more than that. Is this boy nearly over yet? Every 4.3 minutes we're constantly distracted. Social media consumes nearly 2 hours every day of a person's life. And I'm not having a go at young people. I consider myself young and I'm on social media. But where is our priority? Where is our focus? Maybe you do spend 4 hours a day watching TV. I don't know. I remember I watched, speaking of TV, I watched a documentary recently about Bill Gates, the billionaire. And he's no longer involved in the day-to-day running of Microsoft. I think he's maybe still a shareholder. But he and his wife, Melinda, run a foundation to try and help people throughout the world. And they showed a brief clip of Bill arriving for a meeting at his foundation in America. And the camera panned to his personal assistant, and they said, "Is Bill ever late for a meeting?" And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "Bill is never late for a meeting, nor is he ever early for a meeting. If you have a meeting at Bill at 9 o'clock for 1 hour, Bill will arrive at 9 o'clock. He'll be there for 1 hour and he'll leave." And this line I thought was fantastic. She said, "Time is the one commodity that Bill cannot buy more of. All his billions, maybe more." And you and I have something in common with Bill Gates this morning. We have exactly the same amount of time that he does. What are we doing with our time? I don't think Bill Gates spends 3 hours, 52 minutes a day watching television. What are we doing with our time? Are we using it to meditate upon his word? We've been given the precious word of God. For how much longer in this country, I do not know. I don't think it's extremist to say something like that, considering all the legislation that's starting to creep in slowly but surely into this country. Are we taking advantage of the opportunity to read and to proclaim his word? What are we meditating on day by day? For many of us, maybe our mobile phone is your alarm. And so whenever you pick up that phone in the morning to turn your alarm off, are we sitting scrolling mindlessly through Facebook or Instagram? If you ever have the, misfortune of using public transport in the morning to go to Belfast, which I've had on occasion, and you're crammed into a train full of people, you'll never actually see anybody's eyes. They're all just sitting on their phone like this, filling their mind full of nonsense. But yet we've been given the word of God. What are we meditating on day by day? Think of Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ." We wonder maybe why we don't have peace. We wonder why our peace of God is tainted, it's disturbed. It's maybe because we're not in the Word as much as we should be. We've all the time of the day to read through Facebook and Instagram and whatever else, and yet we've no time to read and absorb the Word of God. As I mentioned earlier, we live in a toxic culture especially for the young people here. I don't think we've ever lived, especially in the last probably 5 years, I've really noticed an absolute acceleration towards just a constant bombardment on your mind. You're told that Christianity is irrelevant. Marriage should not be restricted to a man and a woman. Abortion is healthcare, and it's a choice. We're encouraged to tolerate everything and accept everyone, except anything remotely conservative and biblical. How do we balance this as Christians when you're constantly given this in the media and all your probably your social circle at work and everyone probably has this same mentality? How do you balance this? It's through His Word, and it's through meditation of it. I wonder how many of us today is the Bible brought out on a Sunday and a Tuesday when the Bible study's on, and on a Thursday when the prayer meeting, and then it's back on a Sunday. God can keep us and will keep us in perfect peace. And our responsibility is to try and keep our minds focused and fixed on Him. I wonder, are we doing that today? And then fourthly and lastly, I just want to consider the simplicity of the peace. The simplicity of the peace, because He trusteth in thee. This little phrase, because He trusteth in thee, is a great way for this little verse to end, because it underpins the entire verse that we've tried to look at this morning. We've examined the source. We've examined the secret and the substance of the peace, and now we can trust in Him, God, to maintain this peace. The Hebrew word here for translated can also mean to take refuge in. In fact, in several of the commentators, when I was reading around this subject, they mentioned this verse and this phrase specifically as the inspiration for the hymn Rock of Ages, written by Augustus Montag Toplady in 1762. This was what they believed to be his inspiration for that beautiful hymn that we all know and love so well. You could actually render the verse, because He hideth in thee. What does this mean for believers? How does this apply to us? Well, it simply points to the fact that our trust, our sole trust and a focus, should be in the One who has provided for us this wonderful peace. We should try and trust the Creator and not our circumstances. Our sole focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, should be on God. Can I ask you this morning, and this might sound quite ridiculous for believers, but for the believers, what are you trusting in this morning? What are you believing on day by day? You know, if we search our hearts so often, whenever circumstances batter us in life, whether it be financial, medical, family, business, whatever it is, so easy to get distracted by the circumstance and start to focus on other things. It's very easy to trust your own judgment. I don't know your story. I'm 30 next year, and I know nothing other than being raised in church. I've been coming to church for 30 years, and I thank God for my Christian heritage. And maybe that's like many of you here today. You've been raised up in church. But there's actually a subtle danger in that as well. And whilst I've been under the sound of good and great preaching over those 30 years, and I thank God for that as well, but there's a tendency to be complacent and to think that you know enough and you can lean on the odd bit of scripture here and there. We can become spiritually complacent. We could also start to put our trust in other things. We could maybe start to put our trust to maintain our peace in fellow believers, maybe elders or pastors. And we are blessed with good pastors and good deacons and elders in this place. And as good and as best as those men may be, they are men at best, and they can let us down. Psalm 118, verse 8 reminds us, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The source of our peace is God. There's none better or more powerful. What can we learn from this? And verse 4 of our text, of our reading this morning, really sums it up perfectly. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, this morning we've tried to consider very simply the source of our peace. Thou will keep him. It's God that does the keeping. The substance of the peace, the quality of it, He can keep us in perfect peace. The secret of the peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And then the simplicity of the peace, because we simply have to trust in him to keep us in peace. I wonder, as you reflect in 2019, whatever you faced in life, can we honestly say that we have lived out this verse and all its components? I know for me it's a resounding no. But there's some great lessons within this verse that I think we can learn from. And hopefully we can take forward into 2020. And it doesn't matter about the political uncertainty that we face, whether there's more elections, whether Stormont gets back or not, it doesn't really matter. Because we have the source of peace. You know, the Lord and God is above all that we would ever seek to do as political people in this world. It doesn't really matter who's in or out of power, because the Lord's ultimately in control. Maybe you have a personal trial that's ongoing, and we never know what we could face in 2020 and beyond. We don't know what we're going to face as a church even in 2020. Hopefully great blessing, but we never know what we're going to face. But we can rely on the peace of God. This morning, if we could only just appreciate the source, comprehend the substance, if we could only learn the secret, and if we could grasp the simplicity of the peace, what a victorious Christian life that we could lead. Amen. We just pray that God would add his own blessing to his word. Our closing hymn this morning is 272, and praise him.